Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Thank you, Lord. Shall we pray? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We're grateful for your presence. And we know, Heavenly Father, as Jesus was teaching in a certain place, the power of the Lord was present to heal. So, Lord, we believe that you are right here. The power of the Holy Spirit is right here. Let there be healing. Let there be restoration. Let there be deliverance from every form of oppression. Send your word. Heal us and deliver us from every form of destruction. And Heavenly Father, let someone go home knowing exactly the next thing to do. Let your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Heavenly Father, sadness will turn to joy. Confusion will give way to direction. The one that was mourning will go with celebration. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23, as we continue in our discussions on divine health. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. Let's go. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We'll title our discussion today, Programmed for Health. Programmed for Health. We said something in our discussion last week, and it is the fact that our victory as Christians, our faith, transformation and changes in our lives work from the inside out. It's the heart first. Remember 3 John verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So our material and physical prosperity will go in direct proportion to our soul prosperity. Well, we want to build on that today. And that's what this passage is about in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. That's amazing. Life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So there must be something here, isn't it? Some powerful principles here that will help us to enjoy sound health. Sound health built on the very life of God. And this is the principle that we see here, that what you see and what you hear will affect your heart and ultimately your health. What you see and what you hear. Because he says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Then he says, keep them in the midst of where? Your heart. So, what you see and what you hear consistently over time will affect your heart and ultimately your health. There's a connection between what you see and your health. There's a connection between what you hear and your health. Now, what you see and hear, we have a word for it. It's the word information. Information. And information is a combination of two words, in and formation. In and formation. So, whatever it is that you see and hear consistently over time ultimately forms you on the inside. What you see is what you will become. What you hear is what you will become. So be careful what you take in, what is going in there to form you. I'm sure you know already that it is established in this passage that your physical health is built on the foundation of your spiritual health, on the foundation of your emotional health, psychological health. Everything that makes for you on the inside impacts directly and ultimately on your physical health. So you want to be careful. I love verse 23 there. Keep your heart, it says, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Hard work. Hard work. Keep your heart. Why? It's affecting your health, affecting your well-being, even affecting your finances. Keep your heart. So, information ultimately affects your health. The highest level of information is revelation. It's the information that finds its origin in God, information that originates from the realm of the Spirit. It's amazing that Psalm 107 verse 20 says that God sent his word and he healed them. Isn't that amazing? Let me read Psalm 107 verses 19 and 20. Psalm 107 verses 19 and 20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The highest level of information is revelation. Information affects your health. Ultimately, what you take in will form you on the inside. It will affect your heart. When it affects your heart, it's affecting your life. The highest level of information is revelation. So he says here, when God wants to heal people, he sends revelation. He sends his healing power on the basis of information. This is very important. He sent his word. They cried out in their distresses. They wanted healing. They wanted relief. They wanted freedom from their oppressions. What did God do? Sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word. His word is the vehicle that carries his potent power into our own sphere. And when that word, Jesus said, is sown as a seed in the heart, in the parable of the sower, he said it will bear fruit. It will bring into existence things that never existed before. So if the word carries healing, it will manifest healing. It will produce the effect of healing in a person's life. So revelation is the key. Pay attention to that. Revelation is the key. What is revelation? Something that is revealed. I like that. Something that is revealed or something that is unveiled. They say it's like pulling back the curtain, which allows you to see something that has been in existence before, but which you did not have the capacity to perceive. There is a veil between the natural world and the spiritual world. The exciting thing for you as a Christian is in the reality that after you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, your status changed spiritually. But you need revelation to see it, to see the new you, to recognize or realize the new you in Christ. In fact, for the person who is not a Christian yet, the reality is in God's economy, in God's program, he's provided for your total freedom from sin and from all the consequences of sin. That's for the person who's never even heard about Jesus, or you heard about him, you didn't understand what he was about. Sin is man's greatest problem. Everything else is a consequence of sin. All of mankind's problems. All that God sent his son Jesus to take care of on the cross. That's a reality already. In God's economy, you are free. All the sins you ever, committed in this world, including murder, if possible, have been taken care of, paid for. But it will take what? Revelation for you to see it, to recognize it. So that's what happens when revelation comes. The veil is pulled back. And then what has been in existence is now made visible. So revelation involves seeing. Revelation involves seeing. And what you see will ultimately affect your health. Let me give us an illustration from the Old Testament. When Israel was moving through the desert to the promised land, Numbers 21, they began to complain. They began to rebel against God. They complained about the food. They said there was no water. And the manna which God gave them in a miraculous way, you know what they called it? Worthless bread. That's what they called it. These worthless loaves. What are we going to do with it? As they complained against God, something remarkable and unfortunate happened. Poisonous snakes showed up and began to bite them, began to attack them. And anyone who got a bite from a snake died. Thousands were beginning to die. People were falling sick. When they cried out, Moses ran to God. And God told Moses what to do. Interesting. Numbers 21. Let me read verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. I'm trying to make a connection here, powerful connection, and it's scriptural, that there is a connection between what you see and the quality of your health. God played up the principle here. My son, attend to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. These people experienced it live. Someone bitten by a poisonous snake. The poison running through the person's bloodstream, running, about to shut down the organs of the body. And God said, Moses, I know it's snakes that are striking them, attacking them. I want you to create a snake, an alternative. Hang it on a pole. He said, tell them that as long as they look at that snake on the pole, they will live. Wow. What is that about? Moses, they need to change what they are looking at. When someone is bitten by a snake, the person is going to focus on the bite, focus on the pain. Moses, the only way we're going to be able to change this is for them to take their attention off of the pain, take their attention off the problem, take their attention off the doctor's report, take their attention off the x-ray, take their attention off that scan, take their attention off it. Let's change their focus, because what they see is going to affect their health. She said, let them focus. Let them focus on the snake on the pole. And as many as looked up on the snake on the pole lived. That's the symbol of the medical profession, isn't it? Oh, yes, the snake on the pole. So the medical profession does have a message for us. Don't focus on your sickness. Don't focus on what is going wrong. Focus on the solution. What you look at and what you hear consistently over time affects your heart, and it's going to affect your health. Candidly speaking, when you focus on this, when you look closely at it and you look through scriptures, you will find just so many examples of places where healing happened, and this exactly was the principle through which the healing came. So, roll over to the New Testament. And in John chapter 3, Jesus speaks about it. John chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. Here Jesus And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I declare today the days of being focused on the problem, those days are over. The days of distraction for you, those days are over. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, what happened there in the Old Testament was only symbolic. As the serpent was raised on the pole, that's exactly what's going to happen to me. And anyone who believes in me, he said, shall not perish. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So from the moment that you put your focus on Jesus, destruction stops. The power of death is terminated. Because the one we are looking at is the one who conquered death and who conquered hell. Someone say amen with me. Awesome. Awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Let's read it together. Paul the apostle is explaining to the Corinthians the spiritual foundation for his ministry in Corinth. And this was one place where the power of God was in demonstration. In fact, in such a way that after that church had grown and stabilized a bit, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, seeing miracles happen were normal in the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Hear what he said. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in what? In the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Wherever you find the wisdom of God, you will find the power of God. Wherever you find the word of God, let me say it in another way. Wherever you find the word of God, you will find power. For where the word of the king is, there's power there. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Revelation is the most potent force on this planet. So, Paul the apostle describes for the Corinthian church the basis for the flow of power for New Testament Christians. It is what happened on the cross. Jesus hung on the cross like the serpent on the pole. And there carried the sins of the world. Isn't it amazing? Some serpents were busy biting, striking the Israelites. God produced an alternative serpent. That one was neutralizing the effect of the poison of those snakes. That's what Jesus came to do. When he hung on the cross, he attracted all the wrath that mankind should have attracted. All the pain, all the punishment, all the affliction that mankind should have attracted because of sin. When he hung on the cross, he carried all our griefs. He bore all our sorrows on the cross. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. When Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was just for that brief moment in time when he took our place. He took our place. He didn't sin, but he took our place. And God visited on him all the wrath that justice demanded. But once that demand was satisfied, the power of the Spirit of God raised him from the grave. Hallelujah. He was raised in victory. And that victory was now credited into our account. The best place for you to look, if you want to be free from destruction, free from sin and the consequences of sin, is that cross. And then you look beyond the cross to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle says, Corinthian church, when I was with you, this was my message. This was all I preached. Jesus died on the cross. He took the sins of the world, took all the consequences of sin. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our sins was upon him. But then the story doesn't end there. By his stripes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he says, that's what you should look at. Don't look at my oratory ability. Don't look at the poetic essence of what I said and the powerful rhymes. Look beyond all that. Keep your focus on the fact that Jesus died and the power of God raised him on the third day on your behalf. He said, so that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of God, but in what? The power of God. I cannot explain the full technology to you, but I cannot deny what the Word of God says. There's a connection between looking at Jesus, hung on the cross, raised on the third day, and the release of the power of God. That's the important thing for me. The power that stops destruction. The power that neutralized the effects of death on those people who were looking at the serpent. That's the power we are talking about this morning. That power is coming into you this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, that power flows into you this morning. You accept that Jesus died on your behalf on the cross. You accept that he paid fully for sin. You don't have to pay for anything anymore. Aha. You accept that when God raised him from death, he raised him on your behalf. Receive that power now. The Spirit of God is here to be witnessed. He is the one who, practically speaking, took Jesus from hell and raised him from death. So wherever we say it, the Holy Spirit stands there to confirm it. Mark 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now you know what they were preaching. That Jesus died and that Jesus resurrected by the power of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord walking with them. Who is the Lord? The Holy Spirit. He's the one around now. The Lord walking with them, doing what? Confirming his word. Confirming the revelation with what? Signs. Signs following. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's a sign in your body this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You accept this as your reality. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. For by his stripes you were healed. Somebody say with me, I was healed. It's not correct that I'm going to be healed. I was healed. That is the thing to focus on. Remember again, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Keep this in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You remember what happened? Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Genesis, when Jacob made a wall and made animals playing, colored animals to mate before them. The wall was spotted, and when playing colored animals gave birth, they gave birth to spotted animals. I mean, this principle is so powerful. It works even on animals. It works. This principle works. It's working for you now. As you see Jesus, who died for your sins and who resurrected, I declare, the power of the resurrection touches your body now, touches your spirit now. I declare your spirit is open to revelation, revelation of a new you, revelation of a healthy you, revelation of a healed you, in the name of Jesus. And if destruction is showing up in any area of your life, I declare the termination of that destruction now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Say with me, I receive my healing now. Go ahead and begin to say it. I receive my healing now. I receive my healing now. I am healthy. I receive my healing now. My mind is focused. My eyes are focused. My ears are focused. My heart is focused on the resurrected Jesus. I receive my healing now. He sent his word to me this morning. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. And healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord God of heaven, because I've spoken your words and not my words, I ask that the power of the Holy Spirit should rest on everyone. I command every spirit of disease, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Every disease is uprooted from the very roots, and we receive healing now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the person humble and honest enough to admit my relationship with God is not okay. The sin issue has not been taken care of yet. Lord, we thank you because you love us. Jesus died already, and you are willing to forgive as we pray right now. Just before I conclude this prayer, may I ask if you're that honest person who wants us to pray together for forgiveness of sins, that you please put your hand on your heart where you are. I want to say a short prayer with you. God bless you for your honesty. Please put your hand on your heart as we pray together. Perhaps you've been a Christian before, you've backslidden into sin. If Jesus comes today, you're not absolutely certain you will make heaven, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, please also put your hand on your heart. Big shifts happening in your life right now. Some people will receive their healing. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters. We know you've heard their prayers. Thank you, mighty God. Their sins are forgiven. The nature of sin is removed from them. They have your nature now. Thank you for this miracle of change. And we pray, Lord, teach them to know you and to love you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name.